You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Don Sutherland on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Annie. It's great to be with you again, and hello to all of your listeners.
Yeah, yeah, it's always good to have you. There's been a really lot of stuff that I've been wanting to know your opinion on. What about Mr. Lowe and his chat with the government through the Senate committee?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that everything that the Reserve Bank has been doing over the last week has brought living standards and the real state of the economy roaring back to the front of public discussion, and with climate change policy swinging in close behind that. And there is a link between the two, and I'd like to get to that point shortly. But clearly, the Reserve Bank, I don't want to go into all the statistical details. We know where the Reserve Bank is at. The Reserve Bank is on a pathway to raise interest rates, and the effect of that, by their own admission, is that a proportion of mortgage holders, probably about one third, can handle that quite well because they have the savings to do so. And that is for whom, that is the first cohort of Australians that they are making the decisions they are. The remainder, of Australians are all harshly hit to one degree or another, some far worse, particularly low-income people who are renting. They are more harshly hit. So we know that's the overall trend, and even he, in front of both the Senate Economics Committee and the House of Representatives Economics Committee yesterday, acknowledged the truth of that. So what we have is I think it's interesting in terms of what it is he does talk about and what he doesn't. We know that the standard of living for a big part of the population is going to take a big hit. And the thing that he does not talk about publicly is, of course, what this means for profits. So the reference points are usually things like the employment level, the employment and unemployment, wages, but very rarely, and also I might say, the inference, or not the inference, but the sort of threat almost he is making to the government about taxing and spending, and I'd like to return to that point as well. But the main reference points are, of course, prices, the level of unemployment, and wages, not profits. In fact, in the Reserve Bank material, there are just two, that is the background material to their decisions, there are just two references to profits. There is just two. There's nothing in the monetary statement itself, and yet, in my view, everything he is doing is about rescuing what's going on with profits. Now, the starting point is this, is that non-mining profits, the volume of profits have collapsed in recent times. Okay, it's back really to, we're back almost towards the late 1990s in terms of the volume of profits for non-mining corporations. And when it comes to mining, they are close to record highs in terms of volume. But that's not the whole story. You put 150 business owners in a room listening to a speech from the Reserve Bank governor, and he's telling them that they ought to do certain things, or including praise him, of course, with their profits, and they're saying, no, we're not going to invest unless the rate of return is increasing. And that's where the problem is. That's where the Reserve Bank is silent, and it's where it's really difficult to get hold of really useful data. But the indicators are that the rate of return on investment is falling. And that is the fundamental problem in any capitalist economy. At some point in the economic cycle, that is what tends to happen. And it can either get worse and worse, or the major supporters of the system, like the Reserve Bank, they swing into play to rescue itself from the problem it's created.
So Don, the general population would think that capitalism, or have been led to believe that capitalism, is the only system that can exist, and the government that's sitting there has to give the impression that I'm sorry, I've got a terrible cold. That the government's acting in the interests of the general population, but what they really need to do is get the general population who's losing out here to believe that it's an essential tightening of the belt, right?
Yes. Everything that the Reserve Bank governor was doing yesterday was to create the impression and install it into the heads of the majority of the population, who see it covered in the news, very superficially, of course, that he has got things under control and that everything's really going to be okay. And he actually does at some point in his evidence yesterday say that, you know, the capitalist system in Australia is working really well. Well, you tell that to one-third of the population, because it's not. For about another third, it's marginally okay, but there's an increase. A big part of them are going to be trending into that one-third for which the situation is harsh. And then there is another group who are probably going to be okay. Essentially, what the Reserve Bank governor is saying is you have two choices. You go along with our formula for keeping things under control regarding price increases, which is to suppress wages and to deliberately raise unemployment, or we have a recession. They're the two choices: suppress wages or have a recession.
Now, the suppression of wages has been going on for a decade, if not longer. In fact, it's been going on for longer. And that's also been a policy.
Yes, and in fact, what he's saying is we're going to... the choice he's making is that to get to a recession, that will include the suppression of wages. So it's not an either-or, although he sometimes talks about it like that. But the reality is that the ongoing suppression of wages is going to take us closer to a recession. Now, a recession is dire for a bigger part, probably the majority of the population. And he is willing to take us even towards one. And it's very interesting that in the last 24 hours, mainstream economic commentators who agree with the mantra about how wage increases cause inflation overall are saying that the likelihood of a recession deliberately created is now rising. More likely, it is actually very real and is going to happen in several advanced capitalist economies in Northern Europe, and they're saying it's now more likely for Australia. So when the Reserve Bank goes on, the first thing we notice is, I mean, anyone who wants to talk about wages in any sense, whether to suppress them, which is the Reserve Bank's governor's mantra, or anything else, without talking about profits, are talking weasel words, if I could use that expression. The situation, I think, is extra serious. I want to go back to a very simple point about what the Reserve Bank's role is. Everyone is led to believe, including messages from the government reinforce this, is that at some point or another, wage increases are the cause of inflation. Now, they've had to modify that a little bit. They're now saying, well, at a certain point, because wage increases are nowhere near causing inflation right now, they're saying, oh, pretty soon they will. And so we've got to suppress them, not because they're actually causing inflation, but because they're going to pretty soon. That's essentially what they're saying. Now, the actual legal charter of the Reserve Bank says this, that it's the duty of the Reserve Bank to conduct itself, and I'm not quoting right now, I'm going to quote in a moment. It's the duty of the Reserve Bank to conduct itself in such a way to make its decisions so that it best contributes to the stability of the currency of Australia, and that's the exchange rate. That's a separate question. Then it goes on, part B, the maintenance of full employment in Australia and the economic prosperity and welfare of the people of Australia. B and C are the critical bits. The maintenance of full employment in Australia. Why, Annie, would any economic manager who has got unemployment so low want to make decisions whose deliberate intent is to increase unemployment?
No, it's interesting because as soon as when you talk about profits, it's fascinating that all those thousands of people are being ditched because, and this is right across the capitalist world, big corporations are righting their ships by removing thousands of employees. I mean, it's one of the, at the moment, and it's one of the weaknesses of global economies that as soon as, this very large organisation decides that it's got a financial issue that they can only right by getting jettisoning thousands of workers, the whole capitalist system isn't as golden as it appears. It's a real disaster for ordinary working people. But all the people who are left, I then thought to myself, as soon as they get rid of, and we're talking about thousands of people are losing their jobs, all the people who remain, I presume, are going to have to work longer hours for less pay.
Yes, and with more and more people coming back, migrant workers coming back into the economy as well in order to deal with the shortage. Well,
slave labour is on the rise, you reckon?
But the really important point in this is that the Reserve Bank, in a sense, has fulfilled its charter by getting up, but with unemployment where it is. It is now saying that its deliberate intent is to create more unemployment, to raise it from those very low levels, lowest we've had for a long, long time, to raise it. And it's already increasing.
Almost overnight.
The governor notes in his commentaries that unemployment is increasing. And how far that will go it may well be determined by how silly these decisions are, except when you remember the rationale. The rationale is all about what they don't talk about, and that is profits relative to the investment that is put into to them, both the fixed capital investment that's productive and, of course, the purchase of enough workers to do the job through wages. So that's the rationale. It's the rescue of profits that we have to be thinking about if we wish to think much better than what the superficial sort of messaging wants us to do.
So, Don, what can all of us do about this?
Well, I think there's two points there. Firstly, part of this comes back to what we expect from the government, a Labor government, which is supposed to be pro-workers. What would we expect of them and to therefore put pressure on them to do what we expect of them? The second thing is to go a little bit beyond that. Lowe, of course, says the alternative to what he's shop around for better interest rate deals. Sure. I'm sure half the population can't possibly do that.
Oh, but not only that. I mean, that's ingenuous of him when you consider the nature of the four banks in this situation.
That's right. And of course, it's the profit reporting season. The Commonwealth Bank came out with their profit announcement, which was a big lift in profits.
Yeah, but also people might be surprised at who owns these four banks.
Of course. So that's the, in terms of alternative, the one from Lowe is an insult, right? What I think we should be pushing for is firstly to call for more democratic accountability, more democracy in the interaction between monetary policy management and fiscal policy management. The second thing is to defy the demand or the threat from the Reserve Bank governor to dampen wage demands. So what we had coming up, you see, one of the things he was doing, in my view, if you read very carefully, there are two threats that he issues. One is to the Fair Work Commission with reference to its annual wage review. The other is to the government with reference to the forthcoming Commonwealth budget. He is saying, don't allow wages to rise anywhere near the inflation rate to the annual wage review. That's what he's saying there. If you do, then I'll increase interest rates further. That's the threat. Even though there is no evidence, as he himself almost admitted yesterday after, this is the only thing he really retreated on yesterday relative to what he said last Tuesday, wage increases are no threat to the inflation rate. But they are a problem for profits.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
He doesn't say that.
No,
so that's
right.
The first threat. The second threat he issues, and what we should be doing is defying that with a wage claim in the annual wage review that enables not just the maintenance of wages at all levels against the inflation rate, but catch up for what has been robbed from workers in the last few years. That should be the claim. Whether we can win that, well, there's other factors that come into that.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating? Isn't it fascinating how the whole discussion revolves around what the general population can do, and hardly ever talks about what the business class should be doing. Like, the business class is always on the line, on the side, like it's at a schoolboy's soccer match or something, you know.
And you know what? The Reserve Bank in their set of charts that they issue to provide the evidence, supposedly, for what they've decided to do, it shows that the business class have been letting the rest of the population down with really quite mining is separate, is a bit different, but non-mining business class are failing to invest in new productive capacity, and the lending, the volume of lending by the banks, the major banks, to medium and small businesses who want to improve productive capacity is flat when we talk about medium business, and when we talk about small business, it's falling. So there is no commitment. Now, why is that a big deal? That swings back to climate change. You see, we get headlines about all the wonderful things that are being done to mitigate or to slow down the rate of climate change. Of course, there's lots of evidence, very visible also, that that's nonsense. But sitting in there, one of the fundamental requirements is that there must be both, not just public investment in reversing in technologies and projects and so on that reverse climate change, but also private sector investment. And although you'll hear headline stories of great examples where something like that is happening, the overall trend is no, they are a dud. They're not doing it.
No, they're not doing it.
In fact, Lowe was complaining about that to them at various business dinners in 2019 and 2020, that he had created with quantitative easing, that is, pumping more money into the economy. He created opportunities for investment, but they hadn't done it.
Lazy capitalists. Lazy capitalists.
That's a big hole. That's a big hole in what is required to be able to get to the reversal of climate change. The final point we need to make is this review of the Reserve Bank that the new government has initiated. To be brief about this, there is a review going on, and the report will come in, I think, in just a couple of weeks. I can't pin down the date. What Chalmers says about it is this. Well, there are two things. Firstly, Chalmers and the Prime Minister have said that the role of government regarding the budget is to align it with the monetary policy of the Reserve Bank.
Oh, my God.
In other words,
that's a catch-22.
The government should align its taxing and spending to the policies of the unelected Reserve Bank. Think that through.
Yeah, yeah.
That is really...
expertise.
I'm just wondering when Labor Party members are going to start getting angry about that.
Well, you know, if you knew your history, one of the reasons for why there was such a shocking downturn in Australia during the 30s for about 30% of the population was because of the Reserve Bank's policies.
Well, there's a bit more than that. But
I mean, you know, sorry, that's a throwaway line, really, isn't it?
Yeah, they made it worse.
They made it worse, yeah.
So the second thing is that Chalmers says, and we might end on this, he says that he wants the review to enable the Reserve Bank to be a better, quote, a better version of itself.
Oh, my God.
Right. Now, what does that mean? It could... I've actually been very critical of that, but I think...
It means that it's part of a US sitcom or something.
To be a better version of neoliberalism?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is called, in my view, you could call that neoliberalism.
Yeah, 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 but, you know, it's just another episode of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, and this is where I am somewhat self-critical about focusing just on that. It could mean, and this is the attitude that we, the people, and our organisations should adopt, and that is a better version of the charter.
Yeah, that's right. Get a bit closer. Get a bit closer.
There's not much wrong with the Reserve Bank, whose primary focus is to maintain full employment.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a blind, isn't it?
Whose focus is the economic prosperity and welfare of the people of Australia, not the capitalists of Australia.
Well, we'll finish on that, Don. Thank you very much.
All the very best.